This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, we've got Bill Riley in studio, longtime voice of the Utah Utes, radio host in Salt Lake City on Twitter, at ESPN700. Bill, give him a follow. He is. We haven't had you on a ton since we've had our show, but in the few times we have, you usually always piss half our listeners off.
But
that's basically it.
I mean, that's half your audience.
Yeah, it is.
I
mean,
every time we have you on, there's there is like a flood of text messages that'll come in every time. Get this guy off the
what
air.
A home.
There's a handful of them that live in Salt Lake City that get after me, though. Right. I will say, I think I joined you guys in the fall. Mm-hmm. I said, skeptical of Oregon, gotta see them do it. Hey, they did it, they came out and kicked Utah's ass in the Pac-12 championship game.
Wow, we were shocked by
that. Deserving champions. They came out and, you know, I think you didn't play great. You lost that one game and they looked so-so in the Civil War.
And they limped into it for sure.
But I think they got sick of hearing for a week and a half about how good Utah was and how they had all of a sudden. And I told people in the week leading up in Salt Lake City on my show, I said, hey, Oregon didn't become a bad team overnight. I think Utah's better, but Oregon's going to give them all they have. Oh, they did.
Yeah.
Well, so all Duck fans, Duck fans, truce. You don't have to truce me, but my mea culpa is they went out and they kicked Utah's ass and they earned it in the Pac-12 championship game.
Let me ask you about that. So I went on a Vietnam trip in December. It was right before that title game. And my last thing when I left was 6 points seems a bit high. Like Utah played some mediocre to bad teams and had some really impressive plays. So I don't want to take that away.
They were smoking everybody at the end of the year.
And as you mentioned, Oregon kind of limping in a little bit. I thought, I think this is a field goal game because I think talent-wise they're close. I checked the score in Vietnam, and I was like, what? What do you think really happened in that Pac-12 championship? Because I don't think they were 20 points away.
No. I said this leading up. Utah got fat and happy on a really mediocre stretch of it wasn't a good league this year.
Right.
Utah was good. Oregon was really good. And USC, when they wanted to be good, could be. They're, same
when
with
they were
USC.
Healthy, maybe.
Same USC. Mm-hmm. Terrible culture, great talent.
Yeah.
But Utah lost to SC. The first three games of the year, they hammered three teams that weren't very good. And then when they finally had to go up against some athletes, they shot themselves in the foot, bunch of penalties, couldn't match USC's athleticism, lost a close game. Well, then they run off eight in a row, and the Pac-12 wasn't very good this year. And even Washington, you know, it was a big win for them because they hadn't beaten Washington up in Seattle, but Washington wasn't very good. Mm-hmm. So they did what you should have done against bad teams, but the problem was they hadn't seen a good team or a really good athletic team since week 4 against USC. So when Oregon came out and smacked them in the face early, they didn't match it. And then they had a bunch of assignment errors too. I mean, when they finally started to adjust third quarter, it looked like a game. But then Oregon gashed him with a couple of big plays where guys blew assignments. So I think if they played that 10 times, Oregon probably wins 6, Utah wins 4, something along the lines there. But in that particular game, Oregon came ready to go, and I think Utah maybe read a little bit of press clippings. Hey, we're the big bad Utes, and they were in the playoff conversation. But I think more of it is they hadn't faced a team as good as Oregon all year, but certainly at least not since the USC game.
Right. That was the weird thing, too, for both of them about the Washington win was it felt like a barometer win for each one. And then Washington ended up just not being the team that we all thought maybe they would be coming into the year. And I am curious, too, what was your thoughts on the bowl game? Because that's such a tough fall off we see from teams where you go from playoff to Rose Bowl to Alamo.
They just
didn't show up.
Well, you see that all the time, though. Yeah. It's kind of like the NIT in basketball.
For sure.
Some team that was on the bubble, you know, every year feels like Syracuse. And Jim Boeheim gets on, lobbies to get on, doesn't get in there, and then they get beat by Ryder in the first round of the NIT. It's kind of the same thing in football. It's not an excuse, but you had a lot of guys that had been talking about playing in the playoffs or winning the Pac-12 championship or going to the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
And it was Texas. And that's the other thing, too. Texas wasn't bad. They were probably a little bit better than their record because they were beat up and injured all
their
year long.
Their secondary got really banged up.
And they had a bunch of guys come back in that game. And Utah actually lost. You know, Julian Blackman blew his knee out on that non-contact game. And they missed. They were missing a couple of players. I don't know that that makes the difference, but Utah wasn't there mentally. I mean, that, and you see that happen sometimes in bowl games.
That's kind of what I,
is on the players. It's a little bit on the coaches, a little bit on the players.
It's also a human reaction that you can understand.
Yeah.
Right. It's completely relatable for sure.
That's why bowl record for me, I don't know where you coming on this. By the way, we're talking with Utah Ute voice Bill Riley of ESPN 700 down in Salt Lake City, just wrapped up his radio show. That's why, look, 1-8 a couple years ago does not reflect why. I understand the argument, but that's why I don't put a lot of stock in bowl game record stuff, because I'm just like, some teams want to be in their game that they're in, and some teams like Utah, to me, I was like, okay, they lost to Texas. They didn't want to play in the Alamo Bowl. They were a really good team, and I hear what you're saying about the schedule, but, man, they would beat Oregon. We're wondering if they're a playoff team,
right? Would have been in the playoff.
They would have been in the playoff. That's where they were. I mean, unless the committee had some sort of complete 180, they would have been in the playoff. Yeah. No, I'm with you guys on that. I mean, judge the record. 11-3, winning 11 games. Some programs have never done that. It's hard to do. But to me, you judge teams on meaningful games. Utah didn't win a meaningful game this year. I mean, they beat their rival BYU early. That's kind of a meaningful game. But you lost to SC, and you lost to Oregon. Maybe you count the Washington game as a meaningful game a little bit, because the Huskies weren't bad, but they weren't great. But I generally judge people on, okay, are you playing in a Rose Bowl? How did you play in the Rose Bowl? Yes. Are you playing in a Fiesta Bowl where you've had two teams with 10-win years? There's a handful of games in the postseason of college football that matter, the playoffs and a few select bowls. But other than that, because we've created this atmosphere now, it's not like 25 years ago. We're going to any bowl game meant something.
Right.
Now it's like, if you've had a pretty good year, if you don't go to one or two of these three of these bowl games, I don't think the kids care, and I think a lot of the fan base doesn't care. Coaches care because bonuses factor in.
Sure.
They've all got
a little extra
win your bowl
money on
the game
side.
Might
yeah.
be 10, might right. be 15, might be 20. But for the kids, I wanted to go to the Rose Bowl. We were talking about that.
Name, image, likeness might change how their attitude is at bowl games too, right?
You can sell a few more jerseys.
Yeah, you get that endorsement check if you win your bowl game. Let's pivot to next year, though. We always love talking college football. The Pac-12 to me is fascinating next year because, I mean, you have coaches that are leaving, Leach and Peterson gone, the Mel Tucker stuff, which I'm sure we'll get to. I mean, just even when you just look at the South race, I mean, USC, as you mentioned, talent every year, but do you trust them? Herm Edwards and ASU kind of came out of nowhere last year, had a decent year, and everybody's high on their future. Utah replacing some pieces, but a real steady program. How do you view Utah and how they fit in the South for next year?
Well, I think there's three teams in the South, and there's maybe two, maybe three in the North. I think there's a have and have-nots in the South. Colorado's now going to be a disaster because of the timing of everything. It's just going to be hard. Arizona's already a disaster.
Yeah.
If Sumlin is coaching at this time next year at Arizona, I will be shocked.
Me too.
And I think Chip Kelly, no offense, if you're still a Kelly fan, but I think that's not working at UCLA. If you go inside the program and talk to people around the program, they showed a flash of getting better, and then they tailed off
for like
again.
Two or three games,
exactly.
right?
Exactly. But Utah, USC, and ASU, I think all compete for it. USC always has the talent. They've got a terrible culture and have since Pete Carroll left. We'll see if it's fixed. I don't think it's going to be fixed by firing a bunch of coordinators. We'll see. Utah's in good shape. They had the best recruiting class ever. Now, they've got to replace a lot of guys. They're going to be in a kind of a similar situation to maybe what UW was in, but I think they're in a little bit better situation because the culture's good, but they've got to replace their entire secondary. They've got to replace, I think, six starters on defense, seven maybe. Offensively, now this is going to be interesting. Huntley had a great year last year, but just about the entire offense comes back, but Huntley and Moss. They're super deep at running back, wide receiving core, tight end, and they brought in two transfer quarterbacks. Cam Rising was in the program, transferred from Texas. He couldn't beat out Ellinger, who's really good. And then Jake Bentley, who was a 2.5-year starter at South Carolina.
He got hurt last year in his first game or something, right?
Yeah, and Holinsky's brother took over. But this kid threw for 504 touchdowns on Clemson a couple of years ago, and he had a 10-7 or 11-7 record as a starter at South Carolina. So he can spin it. So I think Utah's offense actually could even be slightly better next year. And I think they may pivot from run first to maybe a little bit more pass, maybe a 60-40 pass instead of a 60-40 run. But defense is where it goes. But here's what I always tell people. Whittingham's been there forever, 25 years, half of the time as defensive coordinator. at worst, Kyle Whittingham defenses are good. At best, they are what they were last year,
right,
save the Pac-12 championship game. So I think Utah will be in it. In the North,
OSU, Oregon, Washington.
Well, I think OSU will be back. I like what Jonathan's doing there. It's OSU.
I know.
So they don't have the same kind of...
Easy. Alma mater. We're coming back, baby.
No, but you know the expectations are different in Eugene than they are in Corvallis.
Yes.
If you go 7-5, they're going to have a parade for you there. Yeah. I mean, that's why Mike Riley lasted forever.
Yeah.
Oregon seems to be set, but let's see what they do with the quarterback and the skill positions. Washington will see Jimmy Lake but they've got a lot of guys coming back, and who knows what the guy out of the Palouse is going to do.
He's a character, man.
We had him on.
They just hire characters.
He's great. If you like talking to those coaches, Rolovich is a fantastic
interview. And then there's Stanford and Cal. I mean,
Cal could be the sleeper in the North, honestly, because they were a much different team with a healthy quarterback last year.
Garbers didn't play against Utah. And Utah, they had 40 yards total offense.
They couldn't move the ball without him. It was ugly,
We'll see. They've got to replace some guys, too. They don't have great skill guys, but they were better. And Stanford's just a mystery to me.
I have no idea what to think
of that. I have no idea what's gone on there the last couple of years. They say they love Davis Mills. KJ Costello wasn't maybe all the way in. But they haven't been as physical on the lines as they were the last couple of years. They kind of made their living on offensive and defensive lines. So we'll see what happens. I'll ask you guys a question.
Okay.
I was asking this on my show today.
Yeah.
By the way, Joey Mack told me to tell you guys hello.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, good
Joey
friend of the
show.
Joey
was on with me. I asked he and Brock Huard joined me today, too. If you're buying stock today, five-year stock, North and South, who are you buying stock in that you think is going to pay you off the best? Now, that's not to say you're buying. You can do it any way you want, but who do you think is going to pay you off in 5 years? 5 years from now, one in the North, one in the South, who are you buying stock in? I have a feeling I know who you're buying stock in, but maybe you may change it up.
The North one is interesting because if Peterson was still at Washington, I think I would buy Washington. But there's such an unknown with a first-time head coach.
I agree.
Of just not knowing where it's going to go. I love what Wilcox is doing at Cal, but again, that's a big jump from going 6-6, 8-4 to winning a Pac-12 championship. So I think I would have to go Oregon in the North just because Cristobal's won a conference title, he's won a Rose Bowl, and he's recruiting at the highest clip that the program's ever seen. The South is a unique one because the wild card there is who's the head coach at USC in 5 years.
Well, I would say a year from now, who's the head coach of USC?
Right. I mean,
we said that a year ago, too.
We did, and he's sticking around. If it's Urban Meyer, then I'm buying USC stock.
You have to, yeah.
But if Clay sticks around for another 3 years, then you would have to lean Utah with what they've established. I like what Herm's doing, but again, he's in that same spot as Cal of can he take a jump from being 8-4 maybe a 9-3. Can he take an upset over Oregon? Can he go from that to being 10-11 wins, winning the South and winning a conference title?
Okay, I'll give you the answer, and it's going to be the worst kind of radio where it's the same answer, but let me ask you a quick question before I give you a final one. Is Whittingham there for 5 years?
That's a good question. I would say, and I know this, I would say in 5 years, probably not. 3-4 maybe, but they've got their successor in place.
You think he's retiring or moving on?
No, retiring.
Yeah.
Okay, then I'm going to take the gamble of USC in the South.
Okay.
And just say Helton will go because their financial lawsuit that they're dealing with is going to finally free up a little bit, and they'll get the right guy. And then in the North,
even though they haven't the last 10 years,
I know it's blind faith in a program that I don't know why I have blind faith in. It's just the talent
shot in the dark.
And I hate to say this because it's my rival, but I think you have to go Oregon because I don't think Cristobal has any intentions of leaving until way down the road if Miami or Alabama comes calling. Those are the only two programs I think he leaves for. But we're talking years down the road. And he's such a recruiter.
Alabama?
I know that sounds crazy, but
might happen next year.
The Alabama fans have actually reached out a little bit on social media here. They're like, hey, Cristobal, huh? Maybe the next guy. I'm like, really? Really?
I said Utah and Oregon. And I say Utah because I know what the culture is there, and I don't think the culture is going to change. And if you look at the five-year trend, they've continued to trend forward. Best recruiting class they've ever had. And the player development in that program is really what sets them apart. If you talk to Dave, if you guys ever have Dave Bartu on?
Yeah.
Dave's that guy that runs all the matrices and looks at all the things. Utah and Wisconsin have been the best two player development programs over the last 15 years in college football. That's not going to change. I'm assuming Scally gets the job. I've never been told anything. But I think he's kind of that, that wink, wink, nudge, nudge, say no more. And I go back and forth on the Washington-Oregon thing, but I'm going to go with Oregon only because I've seen Mario Cristobal now for 2 years, and I did have some questions about him, but he paid it off.
Yeah.
He won the Pac-12 championship. He's recruited his tail off.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I've got a few questions about the quarterback spot. Is it Shuck?
Shuck, yeah, it's likely going to be
we'll
guy
see if
next
that's
year.
The guy, but he's proven to me in two short years that he – and I don't know. Maybe Jimmy Lake's that same guy at Washington that Mario right. was here. But sitting here today, I'll go Washington and Oregon. Oregon and Utah. With the caveat, USC fixes their culture, but
that's
10 years they haven't done it. No, they've missed on four coaches. And I like what Herm's doing too, but there always seems to be a ceiling at ASU. Even Dennis Erickson had right. it a little bit when he was down there.
All right, we got more with Bill Riley. We're over it right now, but we're going to be back. Are you cool to stick around, right? You're good?
I'll give you one more.
Okay, all right. Bill Riley's going to give us one more. By the way, to your point, 9, 10, 9, 7, 9, and 11. That is Utah. And if you told me Whittingham for 3, I'm picking Utah over USC. The 5-1 is where I wonder about. But Bill Riley's going to stay in studio and stick around. We'll talk more Pac-12 football with Bill Riley, the voice of the Utes, next. But first, Joe with a sports update.
Hey, welcome back in. Fridays are going well. We're hanging out with Bill Riley, ESPN 700 Bill on Twitter, the voice of the Utah Utes. Having fun talking Pac-12 football.
Love you, Duck fans.
They're not angry with you today. Everybody's cool.
Somebody said I've never met a bigger homer than Dirt until now.
Hey, we both got the team gear on. It looks good. I do want to ask you about your quote-unquote rival, which is supposed to be Colorado, which is still weird that that's the way that it works in the conference. Mel Tucker. Staying, gone, throwing $5.5 million at him. What does it mean for Colorado? What does it mean for the conference?
Well, it's a disaster in the short term for Colorado. I mean, you expect to lose a coach in December or January, but mid-February after you've just signed your class of 22. And did you guys interview Tucker at all?
We never had our drive time show got to go down to Pac-12 Media Day. I liked hearing him. I mean,
he's
sounded
awesome.
Like a good
guy. I got
to
meet him a couple of different times. He was great. I thought he was a great hire for Colorado.
Yeah.
It's a bad look for him because he got on his high and mighty horse, the transfer portal, and I'm staying and all that. But we all understand, fans should by now, you and I, we all do in this room, that when coaches say I love it here and I'm staying forever, that doesn't mean anything. Urban Meyer said the same thing.
Sure,
sure he would have loved staying at Utah for 2 or 3 more years, except Florida threw $5 million at him, and Utah wasn't a Power 5 school.
Yeah, ask Duck fans about Willie Taggart.
I'm sure they're happy about that now.
Well, it turned out in the positive, but you go back in the moment. That's a backstabbing.
That was a terrible hire. That was never a good hire.
Well, got Mario Cristobal.
In retrospect, it wasn't a very good hire. But terrible in the short term. I don't blame Colorado. Even if I'm Rick George and I could have matched the $5.5 million, I'm not sure that I'd give a guy that's been 1 year as a head coach, went 5-7, I think it's a bigger risk for Michigan State. Now, maybe he works out. Maybe he's great, and he coached there with Saban. But, you know, if I'm Rick George, maybe now you can go back to your alum or your regents and say, I need a little bit more money, and you can go out. You hired Mel Tucker in the first place. Maybe you can go out and find a guy. I don't blame them for not doing it. It's just the timing of it all stinks.
Right.
But, you know, everybody wants to say it's another sign that the Pac-12 conference is in terrible shape.
Oh, that pissed us off.
I don't think the Pac-12 is in bad shape. It's not the SEC. It's not the Big Ten. But, guys, let's be fair. It's never going to be.
No.
Mm-mm. The passion for football and athletics in this part of the country is not the same as it is in the Midwest and the Southeast. No. I grew up in the Midwest. It was kind of Big Eight country there. Mm-hmm. But I worked in the SEC and the ACC for a lot of years when I lived in Jacksonville, Florida.
Yeah.
It's just not the same. And to think it's ever going to be the same, it's not. If you get in an arms race, you can beat the Big 12 and you can beat the ACC, but you can't beat the Big 10 and you can't beat the SEC. And that's just how it is. Being the third best isn't that bad. They've got the TV deal's terrible. We all know that.
Yep.
Larry Scott's done a pretty bad job managing and things, but the league's okay. You didn't lose, you know, it wasn't like Chris Peterson or Mario Cristobal or Kyle Whittingham or the coach at USC, if it was a real, you know, a traditionally established coach, left the Pac-12 to go to Michigan State. It was a guy that had ties there that was coaching at Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, outside of the McCartney era, Michigan State's always been a better job than Colorado. Yeah, so it's not the dark days that some want you to believe it is. The Pac-12's got to get better in some aspects, and it's a tough look for Colorado. But, I mean, Mike Leach left Pullman. He left Pullman. He didn't leave Seattle.
Right.
Or Eugene. Yes. He left Pullman.
And he's always wanted to be in the SEC.
And yeah. He's always had a wandering eye. He and his agent threw his name out there every year.
Yeah.
You found a good coach. I mean, Pullman's always going to be a place that every 4 or 5 years you're probably going to have to look for if you've hired a successful coach.
Mm-hmm. You did the stock question with us, right? Yeah. Put stock in a North and South. Let me follow that up with a similar.
Okay.
You have to bet on one or the other. In 5 years, does the Pac-12 have a national champion in football?
And if they do, who is it?
Next 5 years.
Well, now you're just getting greedy. I just want to know if he thinks it's possible.
Not going to be anybody next year. I think the league will be good next year, but nobody. Oregon's going to probably take a little bit of a step back.
Well,
Utah will take
State
a little bit of a
two.
Step back.
Good luck.
Can I say something real quick before you answer that? I vote probably no, because just today, it seems like such a gap. Right? We talk about Utah almost making the playoff or Oregon maybe being there. It wouldn't have mattered. LSU would have kicked both those teams' asses anyway because they destroyed Clemson. It feels like you're just so far away from doing that.
I'll say no.
Yeah.
I'll say no. Playoffs, I hope so. I hope that, you know, Oregon, Utah, USC, Washington, I hope that every year or every other year the league gets to a point where they're in the mix. You know, I think the football out here is pretty good, but you know, all that matters, it's kind of like the NCAA tournament. Nobody cares. It's like Utah hasn't been in the tournament in 4 years, but they finished top three or four in the league. They don't care. Fans don't care. You got to be in the tournament.
Right.
It doesn't matter if you go to the Rose Bowl and win it. The national perception is, are you in the playoff? And that's what you've got. That's the perception you've got to fight. God. So if you ask me, will there be somebody in the playoff? Yes. National champion, I'd say no.
I may disagree with a take or two. You're spot on. Because there's legitimately an argument between Duck fan. Would you rather go to the Rose Bowl with a chance to win or go to the playoff and get killed? And I'm like, this isn't even a debate to me.
Well, that was the debate Utah fans were having up to the Pac-12 championship game.
Yeah. Put me in the playoff,
man. The whole playoff argument. And I'm like, no, I want to match myself up against the best.
A Rose Bowl championship
is a great runner-up prize.
Right.
But if you give me the choice between the two,
yes.
Even if LSU's going to blow my doors off, I want to see how I measure up against LSU.
Sure. Maybe an injury happens. Maybe you win the game. Something fluky goes down. You got to give yourself a chance.
And that then tells you where you've got to get better. If you want to compete with those guys, you know, playing the third best team in the Big Ten could make for a good game, but that doesn't tell you how you measure up against the best of the best.
Yeah. That's a disappointment too. You get to some of those games and there's not even a guarantee it's conference champ versus conference champ anymore, which is unfortunate because it used to be that way.
That's the problem with the bowl games now. That's why I always said, hey, if Utah ends up in the Rose Bowl the way Oregon did, and the Ducks probably, you know, wanted to be in the playoffs, and it would have been great, but it's the best runner-up prize in the world because it's really, outside the playoffs, the only bowl game.
It's the only one that matters.
The only one that matters because they've kept the history to
the pageantry.
Big
there,
10,
yeah.
Pac-12, you know, whatever those conferences are now. Same time kickoff, the sun setting over the San Gabriels. It still feels like it did 50 years ago.
It does, last one for you. Recline the seat or not recline the seat on a flight?
This is the easiest answer ever. First of all, that guy was an ass.
Yes. Total ass.
He was a complete and total douche. She was rude. She was just rude.
Opportunistic.
You don't need to recline the seat. I wish airlines wouldn't recline. If you're in first class, okay, recline them because even when you recline, there's plenty of room. But in the standard, I don't know why they allow us to recline. You don't get that much room, but it just causes, and I've been that guy before. I generally am. And I'll say, I don't beat on the seat, but I say something. You know, if we're on a flight that's more than about 45 minutes, I'll say, do you really need to recline? And you usually shame them into putting the chair back.
Do you say that much comfort?
Oh, yeah.
Or are you like, excuse me?
No, I'm like, excuse me, do you really need to recline? Because look back here, because I'm not the tallest guy, but I'm 6'1".
Yeah.
Kind of a big guy. And we've compressed airline seats
now. The leg room in airline sucks, man. The flight you had to come from Salt Lake to Portland, I had the same leg room from Seattle to South Korea. And I'm like, there's got to be a difference between 10-hour flights and 2-hour flights, right?
How much would it have costed you to upgrade?
Well, we did a big group trip. I think each person would have been like an extra $250.
Would it have been worth it? Both ways or each way?
Now that you're back, you probably say yes.
Yeah, I would probably say yes to that one. But I did have a 3-year-old, so she was always needing to walk up and down the aisle.
Okay.
So it was great to get out once in a while.
Don't recline.
Can I ask you one career question? This would be very random and kind of one for me. I am very aware of who you are. I love sports radio. Yeah. I like to see the names out there. What keeps you in Salt Lake all these years?
I love Salt Lake. It was. I was just saying this, though. This was a thing. I said this to start my show just down the hall today. I love Salt Lake because I get to do everything. I'm the program director at my radio station. I host a show at my radio station. I get to do play-by-play for the University of Utah. I get to do play-by-play for Real Salt Lake, the Major League Soccer team. I've been there for 15 years. I get to travel a little bit, get to come to places like Portland mm-hmm. and Seattle and Phoenix and get to go across the country. So I get to do a little bit of everything. I do a little bit of TV work down there as well. So Salt Lake's an easy place to live. It's a little like Portland. I said there's a lot of similarities yeah. between our markets. You know, it each has its own little bit of weirdness, quirkiness and weirdness. We each have an NBA and an MLS sure. team. Yes. They love their fans. Collegiate athletics yeah. Yeah. In sports. You guys might have baseball soon. They've talked about maybe NHL coming to Salt Lake City
cool.
at some point in time. Yeah. And the outdoor lifestyle. I mean, we have the mountains. You beautiful. Can hike in the summer. And I've got 7 ski resorts 30 minutes from where I live. 7. 30 minutes from my front door. You guys have green and rivers. You've got skiing not too far away,
about
too.
An hour
about
from
an hour
here.
Away, yeah.
It's just an easy place to live, and it takes 25 minutes to get everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in the city, it takes 25 minutes to get everywhere, so I love it. But I did say, and this was a topic on my show today, we all go to those places where we say, you know, I could live here. If I didn't live where I live, I could live here. Not that place where if you win the lottery, you'd
like to live. What's that place for you?
Portland.
Yeah. Portland is okay, yeah.
Because I could do my job. I would love to. I could work in this market.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to take your jobs.
Well, if the money's right, you never
maybe
know.
Maybe Isaac yeah. or Suk in the afternoon.
Yeah, there you go.
I'll
yeah.
take one of their jobs. Yeah. But I mean, you know, but it's a great place.
Yeah.
I love this city. The food yeah. and drinking in this market's great. Salt Lake's coming on as a craft brewery market now, and the restaurants and the outdoor lifestyle. No, I love Portland. Yeah. I could live here and yeah. work here.
Well, hey, we would welcome you with open
jobs.
Arms.
I don't know if Duck fans would want me
hey,
here.
Hey, Portland's your city. You're in good graces. I can't wait for next football season. Hopefully we get another Oregon-Utah Pac-12 title game. It'd be a lot of fun. Bill Riley, ESPN 700, Bill, give him a follow on Twitter, the voice of the Utes. Have a great call Sunday.
Have you guys either one of you been to Salt Lake?
I've been to Salt Lake one time.
Airport.
That doesn't count.
Does
have
not
you been
count.
To actually the city or the airport?
No, the city.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I flew
into the
airport.
Down.
I need to. I yeah. know. I need to come
your
check it out.
Your airport's awesome, too,
the
by
airport's
the way.
Awesome. It's under construction right
That's
now.
That's another thing we have in common. Good airports.
I have a
excellent airport.
Yes. I have a buddy. Well, buddy, I know him because I did my internship when I started this stuff. He currently works for the Real Salt Lake team, so I need to get down there, see him, and go check a game out.
Come down when the Timbers play.
Yeah, I thought about that.
Yeah.
Because we also have some other friends that live there, too, and it's beautiful.
There Excellent. You go. We
Thanks,
plan
boys.
A trip. Hey, thanks. Bill Riley, hey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.